Whether you're buying or browsing, discover what a pleasure furniture shopping can be. Most Saks Quality stores are open every evening. Saks Quality, since 1896, one of America's leading furniture specialists. You talk sports with Bill Mazur, weekday afternoons at 4:30 on WNBC AM and FM New York.
Good evening. This is Roger Bowman with a 6:30 New York News special. 15 minutes of top metropolitan area news.
And I'm Joseph Michaels with on-the-spot reports about the city acts to prevent stall-ins as the fair deadline nears, elderly citizens' protest for Medicare bill, and an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Richard Burton.
Right now, it's 42 degrees in New York, and here's tonight's top story. With a fair opening Wednesday, city officials acted to prevent a stall-in. Joseph Michaels has that story.
Supreme Court Justice John Conroy said no today to the three core chapters who have been saying they will stall cars on the roads leading to the World's Fair this coming Wednesday morning. It remains to be seen whether the judge's legal prohibition will be accepted. Today, Queens District Attorney Frank O'Connor, who had asked for the injunction, invited the leaders of the groups involved to meet with him at his office. It is highly questionable whether, from the city's point of view, the meeting could be called a success. Mr. O'Connor heard the side of the protesters and then warned them that to the city, this type of protest would be especially serious, and to indicate that the kind of latitude shown demonstrators arrested at the Downstate Medical Center last summer would not be displayed here. I asked him,
what would actually happen to the highways around there, from your knowledge, Mr. District Attorney, if 50 or 100 cars were stalled on the approaches to it?
Well, I think the potential is really dangerous. I think that real chaos could result, and I think that anyone caught in that situation, if some intemperate act was committed by one of the parties involved, that it might lead to real bloodshed and a real bad situation. That's what we're trying to avoid in getting this order to show cause signed today.
Was there any discussion of stalling trains at all?
We did not learn of anything of that kind, except what we've read, frankly, in the papers in the late editions of last night and this morning. This was not part of our discussion today. There is no provision in the order referring to activities on trains.
The indications were that his arguments did not impress the Bronx, Brooklyn, and New York core leaders with whom he met. Herbert Callender of the Bronx spoke for the group to Newsmen.
After giving Mr. Frank O'Connor, the district attorney of Queens, the courtesy of attending the meeting this morning and listening to his statement, we feel that he has called in the wrong people if he's going to talk about responsibility for anything that is to happen on April 22nd. That the person or persons he should have had in at that meeting would have been Mayor Wagner, the mayor of the city of New York, and the city fathers, who can certainly change many, many things in this city, including honoring the requests of Mr. O'Connor.
Mr. Callender, you're going to defy the court order, then, you and the others?
No comment.
And that was the way it went. There was no comment as the answer to just about all of the questions asked by reporters. Other civil rights groups have said they will conduct massive protests, such as sit-ins at various sites within the fair, including the New York State and New York City pavilions. These do not come under the show cause injunction handed down by Justice Conroy. So it appears Wednesday will be an exciting day at the World's Fair in more ways than one.
Sometime actor, more time brawler, Lawrence Tierney was convicted today of third-degree assault in Manhattan Criminal Court. Tierney was found guilty of attacking cabbie Jack Brass during a ride on the East River Drive in February. He will be sentenced on Monday. Elderly citizens met and marched for Medicare, and here's that story.
Up in the Waldorf Astoria, the president dined with the nation's publishers to talk about foreign policy. There was another group who wanted to see him, and these were the senior citizens who did their dining on crackers and milk at a poverty banquet in the Hotel Commodore, staged to coincide with the president's appearance here in New York. Their intention was to dramatize their call for passage of the Medicare bill, and one speaker after another did so. They hoped against hope that the president might drop in. Then, their own banquet over, they marched with previously prepared banners to the Waldorf, hoping to see the president. That is, some hoped, and were quite optimistic as they walked the nine blocks through a chilling rain. However, when they arrived, Mr. Johnson had already left. This was the reaction of one old lady.
Twice I told us he would be over at the other place. the other hotel. And he and then they told us that we'd come here. He'll be here. We walked. So you know how many blocks I walked? I can't walk. And then when you come here, he isn't here. That's the way to act. It isn't one person. It's thousands of people. It isn't just one.
We are here.
Of course they knows we are here. Everything I told you, I have black and white. My cards are stamped for appointments, and I can prove what I'm saying. I'm not just talking.
Sure not.
And I want that in the papers. They can't get away with these things. What do they think? We're nobody because we're old?
However, it was not the president who had hoaxed them. While their own meeting was still going on, their leaders had been informed the president would not be at the Waldorf when they arrived. This reporter heard a police sergeant saying so. These leaders failed to inform the senior citizens who walked in the wet and cold to the Waldorf, and to bitter disappointment.
Oscar winner Sidney Poitier today received New York City's highest cultural award, the Handel Medallion, at City Hall ceremonies. Mayor Wagner made the presentation to the winner of the 1963 Best Film Actor Award. And after the presentation, Poitier declined comment on the proposed rights stall-in scheduled for Wednesday at the fair opening.
It's been a busy weekend on Broadway, with one show opening Friday night and another on Sunday. For a review of both shows, here is NBC's drama critic Leonard Probst.
One of the easiest and cheapest ways to see a Broadway show is to catch it when it's running on preview performances before opening night. In many cases, it's the only way to see it because if the show's a hit, you can't get tickets, and if it's a flop, it closes. And that's exactly what happened with the musical Cafe Crown. After running for 30 previews, it finally opened on Friday and closed on Saturday night, giving it the shortest run of any musical this season. For the record, Cafe Crown was a feeble attempt to turn an old play into a musical dealing with Jewish actors who hung out on 2nd Avenue 30 years ago. And last night, a new comedy opened on Broadway called Baby Want a Kiss. It's not a play, but rather a happening, sort of like a New Yorker short story. It has no real beginning or end, but I enjoyed what was happening on stage. It's mainly a scattering of witty conversational gambits about Hollywood film heroes who regard themselves as America's greatest cultural asset, as well as a satire on success and status symbols. There are only three people in the cast, and they're all fine actors. The role of the writer is acted by the writer, James Costigan, who wrote Baby Want a Kiss, and the two film stars who drop in to spend the evening with him are played by two film stars, Joan Woodward and Paul Newman. Baby Want a Kiss falls apart under really close scrutiny, but I found I liked its offbeat brilliance and its polished performances. Leonard Probst, NBC News.
Plans were revealed today to restore a block in Lower Manhattan to its appearances in the 17th and 18th centuries. The Williamsburg, Virginia-type restoration will be on the block adjacent to historical Francis Tavern. Jeffrey Platt, chairman of the city's Landmarks Preservation Commission, says private contributions will be sought for the project. Mr. and Mrs. Richard Burton held a news conference at the Regency Hotel, and Joseph Michaels attended. What did Mrs. Burton have to say, Joe?
Well, nothing especially for me, unfortunately. There were also, unfortunately, several hundred others there. I think more reporters than met the president. It's poetry night, however, at the L'Enfantin Theater the night of June 7th. Or if you aren't interested in that particular muse, you might like to be present for Mrs. Taylor's, or rather Miss Taylor's, first appearance on a stage. She and her husband, Richard Burton, will undertake the readings at $10 to $100 deductible dollars a head for the benefit of the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, run by Mr. Burton's foster father, Philip Burton. Reporters naturally were intrigued by this first stage appearance ever of the famous and lovely star, and she was asked how come she had never tried it before.
Mr. Burton, have you always wanted to do something on the stage?
Well, I think I've always really been too chicken, to tell you the truth.
But have you wanted to, chickenness aside?
Oh, sure. It's like all comedians want to play Hamlet, and all tragedians want to, you know, play comedy or something. So being a film actress, of course I want to do the stage.
Do you feel that with your husband's help and guidance, you might succeed?
Oh,
Jeff,
I don't know.
Speaking philosophically, Mr. Burton, do you think it's a good idea for husband and wife to be on the stage together?
Well, it seems to have worked with quite a, you know, Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy and Lanton Fontaine and Lawrence and Vivian Lee for 20 years. Now, I think the pressures on Elizabeth, as you can well imagine, would be so tremendous if she elected to do a play on Broadway. And for many years, Tennessee Williams has been threatening to write her a play about for her because she because she prefers his work to almost any other writer she's acted in. If he does, then she'll just have to grab
courage in both hands
and go for broke.
The famous star also had some kind things to say about New York. He said that New York people were generally the most understanding, although one of the most difficult audiences he had ever faced, and compared them in intelligence in responding to Shakespeare, of course he's currently playing Hamlet, to the audience at the Old Vic in London, and higher praise no audience can receive.
A tentative $210 million school budget for 1965-66 was revealed today by School Superintendent Calvin Gross. The budget estimate provides for 38 new school projects and for 80 advanced planning projects. Gross's request exceeds by $28 million the city's 1964-65 capital budget allocation for the school.
I forgot to tell you that Elizabeth Taylor is beautiful.
Thank you, Joe. I wondered about that. Well, Governor Rockefeller's chances of winning the GOP presidential nomination are not exactly surefire, according to Republican county chairman in New York State. The Associated Press polled the 62 county chairmen, and only 28 responded. 22 of them named Rockefeller as their top choice for the nomination, but only 11 predicted that he would win it. A new trial date for the second conspiracy and perjury trial of Roy Cohn and Murray Gottesman will probably be set next Wednesday. On that day, Judge Edward Weinfeld will hear the arguments from both sides. A mistrial was declared last night on the jury's fourth day of deliberations because of the death of a juror's folly. A light turnout is expected in the New Jersey primaries tomorrow. Democratic Senator Harrison Williams and Republican Bernard Shanley are unopposed for their respective parties' Senate nominations. There are no statewide primary contests, and no presidential aspirants have filed in New Jersey. Voters can write in the name of their presidential choice, but these write-ins are not binding on the National Convention candidates. The New Jersey Supreme Court has reversed the conviction of five contracting firms which had been found guilty of bid rigging. The court held the state failed to prove that the companies, all with offices in Essex County, conspired to fix bids on a $5 million Camden sewer project. A controversial plan to establish a community college in the Manhattan Beach section of Brooklyn has been approved by the New York City College Site Selection Board. The college would be built on a 65-acre site formerly used by the Coast Guard. The board voted 4-1 for approval of the site, with Chairman William Ballard opposing the site for the reason that Manhattan Beach is difficult for students to reach. The FBI today arrested three New Jersey men on charges of operating an illegal interstate racing wire. The trio are accused of having conducted extensive bookmaking operations. The 39-year-old Joseph Cavello, operator of a Newark tavern, 36-year-old Thomas Molinaro, and 47-year-old Armando Restaino. Now for the weather for the metropolitan area. Cloudy with rain tonight. Lowest temperatures in the 30s to the low 40s. Cloudy with periods of rain tomorrow and tomorrow night. Afternoon temperatures in the upper 40s. Right now it's 42 degrees and raining in Midtown Manhattan. This has been the New York News Special, 15 minutes of top metropolitan area news with on-the-spot reports from Joseph Michaels. Stay tuned now for 3-Star Extra. Next news on the hour at 7 with Herbert Kaplow.
This is Joseph Michaels.
And this is Roger Bowman. Good night.
Looking for a good used car?
Stop, look, and listen. See what you're missing. Stop.
Stop at your Ford dealers. Because of the success of his new Fords, he's got good, dependable used cars aplenty.
Look!
Look at the values your Ford dealer has. Terrific values on smart-looking late-model one-owner used cars and low-cost transportation specials.